Good morning. Welcome home. Good to see everybody. As usual, if we haven't met yet, I'm Adam. I'm one of the pastors here, and Kyle's our lead pastor. He's been taking some vacation time here. He texted me last night at 7 o'clock and said, hey, I am going to be at church tomorrow if you want me to do announcements or whatever. And I said, well, how about this? Either preach or do announcements. I'll let you pick. And can you believe he didn't want to start a message from scratch at 7 o'clock on Saturday night after being on vacation? Anyway, good to see you back, Kyle. We've missed you around here. But we're just continuing our series. Next week, we're going to finish up our Acts series. I know it feels like we've been in Acts for a long time, and we haven't even covered all of it. We've just hit some of the highlights. But we're going to continue that series today. If you want to turn in your Bible or your Bible app, we're going to be in Acts chapter 16. So let me bring you up to speed about where we're at. Paul and Barnabas, they had teamed up. They'd taken some missionary journeys together, and they'd been ministering together for some time. Barnabas was kind of a mentor to Paul, and as chapter 15 closes, they're setting out on another missionary journey, and Barnabas wants to take a guy named Mark. Paul doesn't want to take Mark. Because on a previous missionary journey, Mark had deserted them. At least Paul felt like he had deserted them, and he didn't trust him anymore. And Paul said no, or Barnabas said, no, we need to give him another chance. And Paul said, no, I don't trust him. So they decided to go separate ways. Now, I know that sounds like a negative thing, but Paul and Barnabas, their relationship didn't end. They didn't cut their relationship. They just decided, okay, Barnabas, he said, I'm going to take Mark, and I'm going to go this way. And Paul said, okay, I'm going to team up with this guy named Silas, and I'm going to go this way. And now for the first time in the church's history, there's not just one, there's now two all-star mission teams going about spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So that wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but we end up now with two missionary teams going out. And so for the first time, maybe, Paul is now the man. Right? He's the man. He's the leader of this missionary journey now. Barnabas has gone his other way, and now Paul is the man. He's the guy calling the shots. He's the guy saying, here's what we're going to do. Here's where we're going to go. So how did Paul do? Starting off on his first missionary journey where he's the man. Here's what we read. It says, and starting in verse 6, next Paul and Silas traveled throughout the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then, coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. Can I just stop and say something? I've heard people say before, I try to read the Bible, but there's all those names that are hard to pronounce, and I just get discouraged and I quit. Listen, I'm not 100% confident I'm pronouncing these correctly, okay? Don't let that discourage you. If you have to, just skip it, but don't let that keep you from absorbing the truth that is in God's word. All right? So they're going, he tries to go here and that door closes, and he tries to go here and that door closes. Again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision, and a man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Can I say this too? We concluded, yeah, if I had a vision in the middle of the night, that'd be a pretty easy conclusion, wouldn't it? We concluded that God was calling us to Macedonia. No kidding, Luke. Thanks for that. So it just feels, doesn't it, like Paul tried to go here. Like on his first missionary journey of really being the one to call the shots, he tried to go here and that door closed. And he tried to go here and that door closed. And finally, he literally receives a vision in the middle of the night saying, go here, and he goes there. Now, I don't know about you, but it gives me great comfort to know that the Apostle Paul apparently at times had trouble discerning God's voice. Because sometimes I have trouble discerning God's voice. It gives me great comfort to know that even Paul sometimes had trouble discerning God's leading. It also, though, gives me great comfort to see that when Paul did try to go in a direction he shouldn't, the Holy Spirit found a way to speak to him and stop him from doing it. That gives me comfort as well. So the burning question for us today, does the Holy Spirit still speak? And if so, how do we hear him? Does God still speak to us? Can we still? Yes! Thank you. You're getting ahead of me. But yes. Yes. Let me tell you four short stories. Once upon a time, a young college student answered a call to preach. And he had gotten involved in a church where he could begin gaining valuable ministry experience. But he was torn between staying put or transferring to a Bible college where he could start his ministerial education. He applied to another school. He was offered a small scholarship to go to that school. But about 6 weeks before he was set to transfer, he was prayerfully considering his current situation and the great opportunity that he had to be mentored by a great pastor in a great church. And it suddenly became clear to him he needed to stay put. 2 months after making that decision, by the way, he met the woman who would become his wife. Story two. Once upon a time, a young couple began to feel that God was starting a new chapter in their lives soon, and the husband couldn't get a particular city off of his mind, but he didn't say anything to his wife because he didn't really think she would have any interest in moving to that city. And so one night, they were discussing their future, and come to find out the wife also had that city on her mind, couldn't get it off her mind, didn't mention it to her husband because she didn't think he would have any interest in moving to that city. They moved to that city. Story number three. Once upon a time, a pastor who was not pastoring at the moment received a call to serve as an interim pastor at an area church. They were between pastors. So he told the person on the phone he would pray about it. He would talk to his wife about it. He immediately went to Scripture, and he turned immediately to Ephesians 5:17. It says this, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And through that Scripture, God confirmed to him this was a no-brainer opportunity that he needed to take. And so he did, and he was the interim pastor at that church for 3 months. And he is still in ministry today in part because of that experience. Finally, fourth story, last story. Once upon a time, an associate pastor found out about a church whose pastor had just resigned. Even though he had never seen himself in the role of a lead pastor, he couldn't get this church off his mind. And for months, he wrestled with the idea, and every time he would convince himself that this was not something that he needed to do, but that compulsion to go to this church would just come back. And so one night, he realized his wife had also been wrestling with going to this church. They finally realized that if they wrestled with this sort of inner compulsion any longer, they were going to be guilty of running from God. So they sent their resume, and they pastored that church for 12 good years. So does the Spirit still speak to us today? As one of our youngins has already pointed out, yes. Yes, he does. I know he does, because I'm the subject, as you probably guessed by now, of all four of those stories. And all four of those stories represent different ways that God has spoken to me. I'm not crazy. I'm not talking about like hearing this audible voice, but God has spoken to my heart. Those stories represent four different ways that God has communicated to me and spoken to me at big junctures of my life. Here's how he spoke to me in those four situations. One was just circumstances. When I was a college student just starting out in ministry, and I was really torn, should I stay put? Got a great situation here. Should I go start getting my education and to be a pastor? And I was really torn, and God just showed me my current circumstances. This, you just need to stay put. This is a great opportunity you have. So he used my circumstances to kind of communicate to me what I needed to do. In the second one, where I was thinking about, I couldn't get Springfield, Missouri off my mind, and Sarah couldn't get Springfield, Missouri off her mind, and God used each other to confirm and clarify to each other, that's where the next chapter is going to be. Sometimes God uses another person to speak to us. And the third one, he used Scripture. That opportunity to go fill in at a church that was between pastors, I opened up right to, now I don't recommend just randomly opening the Bible as like your regular time in God's Word, because then you miss context, but there are times when you might open the Bible randomly, and boom, there it is, and you just know That's for me. And that scripture that says, don't be foolish. Know what the will of the Lord's, know what the Lord's will is. God used that verse to speak to me and say, this is a no-brainer opportunity and you need to go do it. And finally, in the fourth one, before we went to Mountain Grove, Missouri, which is where we were at before we came here, there, Sarah and I both, there was just this inner compulsion that we couldn't get away from, even though we tried in some ways. Those are all four different ways that God speaks to us. That's not an exhaustive list, but those are four things that God has done in my life to speak to me at different times. And let me tell you this, folks, if God can speak to me, he can speak to you. I'm not some super Christian, folks. There's not some class of super Christians and they can hear from God, but normal people can't. No. If you are a follower of Jesus, then the same Holy Spirit who lives in me lives in you. And the same Holy Spirit who lived in the Apostle Paul lives in you and lives in me if we're followers of Jesus. So yes, God does speak to his people. He speaks to us primarily through Scripture. We'll talk about that in a second. But he speaks to us in other ways as well. The truth is, throughout Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, we see God speaking in various ways, including the four ways that I've mentioned, to his people. You know why? Because it's God's nature to speak. It is his nature to reveal himself. God doesn't play games. You know the old shell game, you know, where you have like three shells or three cups or something, and you got like a marble under them, and the dude, you know, the guy will do this really fast, and you got to keep your eye on which. Sometimes I think we think that's how God wants to communicate with us. Okay, guess, see what it is. See if you can keep your eye on it. No, God doesn't play those games with us. It's his nature to speak. I love this verse from John 10, 27. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. My family, we were talking to another pastor not too long ago, and he was telling us about a trip that he made to Israel. And he was up on a mountaintop, the group that he was with, they were up on a mountaintop, and down below them, there, he could see a shepherd down there and a bunch of sheep. And he said, we were too far away to hear them, but I could see them down the mountainside. And at one point, the sheep, they were kind of going this direction, and all of a sudden, I saw the whole flock of sheep, right? It's a herd of sheep? Isn't there a Christmas song that talks about they were watching their flocks at night? This group of sheep, I'm afraid now that's going to be all y'all remember from this sermon. This group of sheep, they all just do this 180. And again, he couldn't hear, but he could watch it unfolding on the mountainside below him. And the sheep, they were all moving this way, and all of a sudden, they did a 180 and went back to him. And he said, immediately, I thought of this verse, because he said, I guarantee you, even though I couldn't hear, I guarantee you that shepherd called out to those sheep, and they immediately turned and went back to him. Sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and they follow the voice of the shepherd. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. Folks, it is God's nature to speak. And he speaks, yes, primarily through Scripture. Again, we'll talk about that in a second. But sometimes he speaks to us through our circumstances, sometimes through another person, sometimes through this inner compulsion that we can't get away from. Now, having said that, I feel like I would be irresponsible if I didn't say this. Yes, absolutely, God speaks to us today in a variety of ways. But I do think we have to be careful with how casually we throw around the phrase, God told me. I'm not saying there's never a time to say that, but we've got to be careful with throwing that around too casually. For one thing, God's voice sometimes can sound a lot like our own voice or someone else's, and we have to be discerning there. Talk about that in a minute. But the other part that's even worse is that phrase, God told me, that can be kind of a manipulative phrase, can it? In subtle ways, You know, I could throw out, God told me to try to impress you and make you think more highly of me because I'm so spiritual, right? I could do that. I could throw out, God told me as a way to manipulate you to do what I think you need to do. So we've got to be careful about that. The Old Testament tells us how careful we need to be with the phrase, God told me. In the Old Testament, if a prophet said, God told me that this was going to happen in the future, and that thing doesn't happen, you know what the Old Testament said? That person's a false prophet and should be executed. Executed! That's how careful. We need to not take that phrase too casually, folks. And while we're on that subject, if you listen to somebody or watch somebody or read somebody and that person says, you know, there's so much out there, folks, about the end times. If you listen to somebody or read somebody and that person says, God told me this is going to happen, right? The next blood moon, China's going to invade Antarctica and take all the penguins captive. I don't know. I'm being silly to break the tension, okay? But you know what I'm talking about. If somebody says, God told me this is going to happen in the future, and that doesn't happen, I'm begging you, stop reading their stuff. Stop watching their show. Stop following them on social media. Unsubscribe from their email. Stop letting that person influence your thinking. If they say, God told me this is going to happen, and that thing doesn't happen, that's the very definition in the Old Testament of a false prophet. Be careful. I'm not saying there's never a time to say God told me, but be careful with that phrase. Now, because of all that, it's important to ask the question, how do I know? How do I know when it's God's voice? How do I discern God's voice? How do I separate God's voice from my own and from the voices of other people? Are there things we can do? Are there tests we can apply to confirm or deny or clarify? Is this God speaking or not? So let me give you a few things. First, foremost, top of the list, for a reason, is Scripture. That is the first test. Folks, Scripture is the primary way that God speaks to us today. Yes, He speaks to us in these other ways, but this is the primary way that God speaks to us. And God is never going to contradict Himself. And so if you're wondering, is this God speaking this to me? If it doesn't line up with what Scripture teaches and the theology that Scripture teaches, that ain't God. If it's going to lead you or someone else down a path of sin, that ain't God. I heard a story years ago about a pastor who, in his church, there were two couples. The husband from one couple, the wife of one couple, had an affair together. They both left their spouses, and at one point were sitting in the pastor's office and said, we just felt like God wanted us to be together. I don't know exactly what the pastor told them, but I think the gist of it was, that ain't God. And that's an extreme example to illustrate the point. But folks, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's not God. Scripture's the primary way that we test what's rolling around in our heads. And I'll say this too. If we're never in Scripture, how are we going to use that test to help us discern? We got to be people of the Word, folks. We got to be in the Word in our own time, through small groups, however you can devour it. Be a person of the Word. Be a person of the Word. How else can you apply the most important test to discerning, is this God's voice or not? Okay, so Scripture, that's first for a reason. But sometimes another trusted Christian friend or acquaintance. If you're wrestling with something, you got something rolling around in your head, you're trying to discern, is this God or is this something else? Run it by somebody you trust. Someone who loves Jesus. Someone who knows God's word. Someone who you look to as someone who gives wise counsel. Run it by them. Let them give you input. So another trusted Christian can be a test, a way to confirm or deny or clarify. Another one, and we do have to be careful with this one, open and closed doors. Open and closed doors. When I was in elementary school, believe it or not, I've probably shared this before, I was always one of the tallest, fastest, strongest kids in elementary school. I know, really hard to believe, okay? And I can tell you when it happened. It was the summer, but you're laughing a little too much there, Kara. It was the summer between 7th and 8th grade. That's when it happened. I stopped growing, and everybody else shot up. And all I knew, I loved basketball, and I was good at it. And all I knew in basketball was how to play underneath, because I was always so much taller than everybody. I didn't have many dribbling skills. I didn't have any shooting skills. And as I moved into 8th grade and into high school, my basketball career was slipping away. That's right. I peaked athletically in 7th grade, all right? Please, no autographs later. But I think it was my junior year. I was at a high school. It was big enough. Not everybody made the team. We had tryouts and we had cuts. And I think it was my junior year. I knew I was on the bubble. And I kind of lost my passion for the game because it, you know, just felt like it, you know, the game passed me by because I wasn't growing anymore. And I was talking to a friend of mine in my youth group, and I said, I just don't know if God wants me to keep playing basketball. And my friend said, isn't that going to be really clear here in a couple weeks when cuts happen? Yeah, you have a point. That's going to be really clear one way or the other here really soon. Yes, I was cut. That door slammed shut, okay? But a closed door. What door? Look around you. If you sense that God's, you know, you're trying to discern his voice, what doors are opening? What doors are closing? Now, again, that's not foolproof. There could be an open door. It doesn't necessarily mean you should walk through it, but sometimes looking for those kind of things. What doors are opening? What doors are closing? Honestly, us coming here, I've told you the story about how we landed at some other churches we've been at. The story of us coming here, it was an open door. We looked at it, and God had opened a door to come here, and Sarah and I talked about it and prayed about it, and I don't know that we sensed God saying, you need to go to Pittsburgh, but we knew this was a door God's opening. And it's almost like God was saying, you know what, if you don't walk through this door, you're not going to be disobedient, but here's a door that I'm opening for you, and it's not an opportunity that grows on trees, so if you don't walk through it, you're going to miss some things I have for you. Sometimes looking for the open doors, looking for the closed doors can help us confirm if what we're hearing, what we think we're hearing in our hearts and in our heads is really the voice of God. Here's the last one we'll mention for today, time. Time. Sometimes when we think that God may be speaking to our hearts, the best thing we can do is take a breath, sleep on it, don't make a rash decision, give it time. Give God time to confirm, to deny, to clarify. There have been times in my life where I thought maybe God was leading me in a particular direction, and instead of making an immediate decision, I gave it time, and I realized over time, no, that wasn't God's voice I was hearing. Sometimes the best thing you can do is give it some time. Now, I want to be clear about this. You've heard Kyle say many times, delayed obedience is the same as disobedience. So when you know that you know in your heart of hearts, God wants you to do this, God wants you to go here, God wants you to go talk to this person, when you know in your heart of hearts, that's what you need to do. Please don't use what I just said as an excuse to not do it. Once you know, then that's when we've got to trust God and be obedient to him. I'm talking about when you're trying to discern. I'm talking about that season where you're trying to decide, trying to figure out, is this God's leading or is this something else? In that season, sometimes the best thing you can do is give it some time. Give God a chance to clarify things for you. So here's the thing. None of these four in themselves are 100%. Scripture's 100%, but our interpretation of Scripture isn't always 100%, right? Our interpretation of Scripture can be flawed. So that's what I mean when I say none of these by themselves are you can't lean on any one of these. Sometimes you got to use multiple of these, sometimes all of these, to discern, God, is this you speaking to me? Does the Holy Spirit still speak? Yes. Yes. God still speaks. What's God's greatest desire? According to Scripture, what's God's greatest desire? It's to have a relationship with you and me. What kind of relationship happens where there's no talking back and forth? We speak to God in prayer, and God speaks to us through His Word and through other things. So as the band comes up, let me finish with this this illustration. Back when I was a youth pastor, there were a couple times I played this, I kind of did this game, this activity with teens. And what I would do, I would ask for a volunteer, and then I would blindfold that volunteer, because every good youth game involves a blindfold, right? And I would blindfold this volunteer, and in hindsight, this wasn't the safest thing, but man, the point was really good. I would put them on one end of the room, and I would get on the other side of the room, and I would set up some chairs and stuff in between, right? Some obstacles that they would have to walk around. Again, nobody ever broke anything, okay? Church never got sued. Everything was fine. But I would give them directions. I would say, okay, I'm going to give you directions how to navigate these obstacles and reach me on the other side of the room. But here's the catch. Everybody else in the room is going to be yelling at you wrong directions. And so for that person to safely reach it to me without breaking their arm and getting me fired, there were basically three things that they had to do, right? First of all, they had to be able to tune out all the other voices and hear my voice. They had to tune in and hear my voice. Secondly, they had to trust my voice. They had to trust that I wasn't going to punk them and run them into a chair on purpose, right? They had to trust that I was going to give them the right directions to navigate those obstacles. But then the third thing they had to do, they had to take a step. They had to start walking. They had to do and go where I told them to do and go. Hearing God's voice works a lot like that. We have to distinguish God's voice from all the, there are so many voices around us today. And we've got to be able to distinguish God's voice. And we do that by drawing close to Him through prayer, through the Word, through worship, through those spiritual practices that draw us close to Him. When you have a close relationship with somebody, you know their voice, don't you? Parents, when your kids are in a room full of kids and your kid says, "Mom, Dad," you know it's your kid most of the time, don't you? If I'm in a room of people and I hear Sarah call my name, I know it's her. I can hear her voice. When you're close to somebody, you can recognize their voice. That's how we recognize the voice of God. We draw close to Him through those things that draw us close. But then we have to trust Him, don't we? We have to trust that God's never going to lead us astray. Remember, God doesn't play games. He's not going to punk you and run you into something on purpose just to have a laugh. He will always have your best interests at heart. He loves you, and we've got to trust when we know He's telling us to do something. We've got to trust, even when the math doesn't work out, even when the ducks don't line up in a row, especially when the ducks don't line up in a row. We have to trust Him. And then the third thing, we've got to be willing to take a step where He's leading us, right? It's not enough just to hear. James in the New Testament says, let's not just be hearers of the word, let's be doers of the word. So we've got to take a step and we've got to obey. And so today we've been talking about discerning God's voice and testing that and you know, using discernment with that. But there may be somebody here today who you're past that stage. You know God has laid something on your heart. You know in your heart of hearts, God wants you to go here, or He wants you to do this. He wants you to go talk to this person. There may be somebody in this room right now, and you know that you know God is calling you into some kind of ministry. Today's the day to say yes to that. Maybe you're here today, maybe you're watching online, and you know God's been working on you to come into a relationship with Him, to receive His forgiveness and His salvation. and you've been dragging your feet, today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to respond to him and say, yes, God. Now, if you're not sensing something specific right now, if you're not who I just described, and you're not somebody who you know that God's leading you to do something and you've kind of been dragging your feet. If that's not you, don't tune out because you're not off the hook. What if you just simply pray today? God, I surrender everything to you. I am completely yours. Wherever you want to lead me, whatever you want me to do, whoever you want me to talk to, I'm yours. I'll say yes to you. What if all of us prayed that prayer today? God, I surrender everything completely to you. I will go where you send me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Would you pray that prayer today as we sing? Would you stand with us? If you want to come forward and pray about any of this or pray about anything that has nothing to do with what I've preached, and we want to invite you to come. If you want Kyle or I to pray with you, we'll be happy to do that as well. Just say yes to whatever God might speak to your heart.